Today's June 8th, 2015. This is Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today is a public hearings on House Bill 2207, House Bill 3415, and a work session on a Department of Agriculture federal grant application. We'll start off on opening a public hearing on House Bill 2207, and we'll turn it over to staff really quickly.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2207 is relating to ballast water. The bill does a couple things. It makes some policy changes in the ability of the department to propose some methodologies for dealing with empty ballast water tanks. And then the reason the bill is down in Ways and Means is Section 4 would divert the civil penalties that normally go into the general fund to the Invasive Species Council account, and the fiscal impact of that is a $75,000 to $150,000 reduction of general fund revenues.
All right. And with that, we'll call up Representative McEwen.
Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee. My name is Kathy McHugh, and I represent House District 9 down on the South Coast. About 8 or 9 months ago, I was delighted to be asked to be part of a task force dealing with shipping transportation ballast water issues. We had a very robust group. It represented the ports, Portland State University, the Department of Justice, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, the Marine Science Center, Fish and Wildlife, a number of people at the table, including shippers. And a lot of good work came out of that. But one of the issues that we have grave concern about is the issue around the potential threat to our waterways with ballast water invasive species. And we are very pleased to bring forward House Bill 2207, which deals very specifically with technical issues around ballast water invasive species, but also the issue around how we fund response when we do find that there is a problem and we have something that we need to respond to. The details of the bill create policy around lifting the bar for how we deal with ballast water in our freshwaterways and in our saltwaterways and in our coastal ports and in our river ports. And it's a very, very important issue that doesn't get a lot of attention. It's not very high on the radar, but for those of us who live on waterways, it's very, very important. We do have issues that we want to make sure that we're dealing with. And Mr. Vanderhoof is here, can answer technical questions about if you want a dissertation on how these things work. I'm sure he'd be happy to give it to you. But I think what I'm here to deal with today is common that we support the bill, but an issue came up around how some funding may be moved. It's come to our attention that LFO is of the opinion that the program is better off being funded by an actual allocation rather than the task force initial recommendation, which was to take the penalty money that comes if they do find a shipping line that is in violation and move it into a control fund so we can respond to invasive species. And I understand we tried to insulate that in a way that would make it more palatable, but if it's not, we're good with that. I understand that there's an amendment that has been drafted that would put just a general fund allocation into the invasive species control account. I'm fine with that. Senator Roblin was also a member of this task force and worked very hard in these negotiations with all of the key players at the table. He's fine with that too, and we're just delighted that there's an amendment and would be very supportive of you adopting the amendment and moving the bill forward. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Great. Ms. Rainer, would you like to add anything?
No, thank you, unless there's specific questions.
Okay. Comments. Are there any questions? Please, Pam.
Yes, sir. Mr. Co-Chair, just very pleased to have my neighbor from House District 9 here today, and I'm not sure she mentioned it, but she's also the chair of the Coastal Caucus, and I think is speaking for all of them and myself on this measure as well.
Absolutely. Very important that we continue to address this and we continue to raise the bar in conjunction with what the states around us are doing and what the federal policies are that are coming down addressing ballast water invasive species. It's highly technical work, and our folks at DEQ are doing a fantastic job of staying on top of it and keeping us apprised of the new technologies that are available and what procedures need to be in place to protect our waterways. So kudos to them for the good work that they do, and this is the best way that we can help them do their job.
All right. Is there any other questions? So thank you very much, Representative.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to testify on House Bill 2207? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on 2207 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3415. Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3415 has to do with hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking. It would have the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries do a study of best practices around fracking if it were to happen in this state. And then also in Section 2 or Section 3, it notes some best practices which anyone wanting to do fracking in the state would have to follow. The fiscal impact is still being worked on, and it is one of the reasons for the hearing today.
I have a question.
Oh, yes, Senator Hansel.
Does it also impose a 10-year moratorium? You didn't mention that.
The original bill.
Yeah.
The original bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I believe that was amended out of the bill.
Okay.
Okay, and we have Peggy Lynch and Angela Crowley-Cook.
Cook.
Ugh. Every time.
That's what she gets for having a fancy name. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. So the League of Women Voters is a grassroots political, nonpartisan political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government. And since the 1950s, the League has been the forefront of national efforts to protect air, land, and water resources. With the original bill, we supported the 10-year moratorium because we thought that it was appropriate for a variety of reasons. There are very extensive science-based reports related to respiratory health, the dangers of methane emissions, drinking water, the brine from deep shale formations in groundwater aquifers, seismic activity, climate change, soil contamination. All of these issues relate to hydraulic fracturing, issues around noise and odor pollution in communities, and health complaints. We are also in a drought here in Oregon, and we all know that hydraulic fracturing takes an enormous amount of water. So for those reasons, we were intrigued by the concept of having a moratorium. The bill, as written today, does remove the 10-year and instead talks about the about doing a study and perhaps doing some rulemaking. It's unclear as to the cost, and I was hoping today to maybe hear what that cost might be. But as you all know, the legislature needs to weigh the cost of this rulemaking and this bill against the cost of other issues. So for the League, from the League's point of view, we are going to continue to push for natural hazards rulemaking because we know that in Oregon that we will someday have an OSO Washington. We know that in Oregon, unfortunately, we are likely to have a Wimberley or San Marcos, Texas. And those are very, very serious issues. So rather than putting money in this particular bill, we would rather that you take a good look at House Bill 2633 and do natural hazards rulemaking that is likely to be a significant impact on Oregon. And right now, hydraulic fracturing is happening in very few places in Oregon. It's probably not likely to happen in the very near future, at least. And we do we are very concerned about the water usage, not just the water contamination. And yes, we did read the EPA report. Thank you very much for your time. Be happy to answer any questions.
Co-chair, And members of the committee, Angela Crowley Cook, Oregon Environmental Council. I'm here on behalf not only of Oregon Environmental Council, but also the Sierra Club and Environment Oregon, who couldn't be here in person today, but we've all submitted written testimony. We're here to oppose House Bill 3415 as it is currently written. We were all three groups very strongly supportive of the original bill with a 10-year moratorium. However, in its current state, we are not able to support it. And some of the reasons for that, we're very concerned with fracking, especially the effects on water quality and the potential for serious water contamination. As Peggy mentioned, we're in a serious drought. With climate change, it's only likely to get worse. And so the thought of contaminating the precious water that we have, we don't want to see that happen. So we do want to address fracking. We're excited that Representative Helm also wants to address fracking. But the way the bill is currently written does kind of an audit of our current practices, and most concerning, looks to other states for best practices. And the problem with that is that other states don't have best practices. No state has really figured out how to make fracking safe. Some folks, like the Sierra Club, would say fracking is never safe. OEC is open to finding out, is it safe? Is there a way to regulate fracking so that it is safe? We haven't seen it yet. That's why we supported the 10-year moratorium. So in Oregon, we don't have any fracking. There have been some attempts in the past, but we don't have any right now. And so I think it's better to take some time instead of going into this right now and passing this bill and moving towards some regulations. I think the best case for Oregon is to do a little more work in the interim on this, think about what could be a best first step for Oregon, and come back in a future session to take a look at this. With that, I'll answer any questions. Thanks.
Questions? Representative Parrish.
Thank you. Let me ask. I'm looking at the bill, and I remember it originally because somebody emailed me and asked me about it, and I see it's been modified. But the modification really does just look like it's asking the legislature to study the issue. And if we don't have fracking currently going on in the way like you'd see it in Texas or South Dakota or somewhere, and I don't even know where you would do this in Oregon at that type of scale that you're seeing in other states where clearly they have an opportunity to extract oil or natural gas. What is the harm in then just doing a study and actually getting our data before we make a long-term decision, whether it's a moratorium or an outright ban? I guess I'm just not sure what the harm is in actually studying it.
So, co-chairs, Representative Parrish, I think the problem, we don't have a problem with studying the issue in general, but the way that the bill is written, the study would look to other states for best practices. And like I said, there aren't best practices out there right now. There's mostly bad practices. I mean, we see in Oklahoma there are now earthquakes almost constantly. So other states haven't figured out how to best regulate it. So, but they're moving in that direction. And so we'd like to give it more time, have more input into, if we're going to do a study, we'd like to see a moratorium while that study is happening. And then if we are to do a study, what should that study look like? We're not convinced that the way it's drafted is the best way.
So real fast, I mean, I appreciate that your thought is that their states aren't getting it done right in other states. They don't have best practices. Sometimes our best practice or somebody else's best practice can come from somebody's bad practice, right? I mean, you look at what they're doing and you go, we don't want to do that. And from that comes a good practice for us. I guess I just still struggling to wrap my head around. If we're going to look at what other states are doing, part of that analysis I hope that this body would be an analysis that says Oklahoma's got it wrong or Texas has it wrong, or, you know, and look at the outcome that has happened there. Let's make our policy not look like that. And that could be the result of a study. I mean, I'm hoping that we would.
So, co-chairs, Representative Parrish, the idea of a study is not something that we don't support. From the league's point of view, we're just looking at trade-offs in the amount of money that you have to spend in this area, and we're thinking that perhaps of the monies that you could spend for DAGAMI doing some work, DEQ doing some work, there might be a better place to spend the money because of the fact that we have so little, if almost no, fracking happening here, and the potential is probably not in the very near future, at least particularly with the price of gas going down and so on. So it's not as if the idea of a study and work is not a good idea. We're just looking at the fiscal trade-offs.
If you have a different answer.
Any more questions? I do have a couple. I've always looked at environmental legislation from a standpoint of being smart rather than popular. And I know that fracking is a very, high-profile subject. But I'm struggling with this because I view it almost like the prohibitions that we previously have established on offshore drilling in Oregon, since nobody has ever thought of offshore drilling in Oregon, because to a large extent nobody has ever identified any oil reserves that would be worthwhile or even existing. But we have continued to pass this ban on offshore drilling in Oregon, even though there is no oil. Now, to my knowledge, there are no significant oil deposits in Oregon. There may be some, but there's nothing that's going to attract anyone here. We have only one productive, we have a number of smaller, I believe, and we do have some resources, but we only actually have one productive natural gas field. And that's producing, I believe, less than a third of the natural gas that it did 10, 20 years ago per year. So I know this is a popular subject because everybody is concerned, and perhaps legitimately, about things that have occurred in other states. But we are like the Israel of the West Coast, remembering some former prime ministers there that they happened to be in the middle of all of this oil, but they had none.
Yeah.
And we don't really have much in natural gas. So I'm trying to get a reaction on this in terms of, I know the league's concerned about what we can actually fund. You're concerned from the environmental standpoint that it might send the wrong signal. But I'm still trying to reconcile this with the fact that we really, at least at the current time, don't have much of an issue with this because we don't really have the underlying natural resources. Can I get any reaction to that?
Sure. So, Co-Chair Devlin, there are areas in Oregon that have fracking potential. There have been attempts to frack in the Coos Bay area years ago. Those were not... they didn't financially pan out. And right now, it doesn't seem like there's interest to move to Oregon when other areas of the U.S. have so much more potential and it's cheaper. But there is the possibility that we could have fracking in Oregon. There's actually a pretty large area sort of in the central to southern valley, and then the central south coast is where in Oregon we have the fracking potential. I think your question is a good one because no one's knocking at our door right now, so we don't need to do it this session. I think we should do something about fracking, but there's no rush. And if we're going to do something, we should be a little more thoughtful about how we want to progress, what we should study, and those sort of things.
Co-Chair Devlin, that's basically my answer. Your comments are exactly correct. The league looks at the potential for this. Certainly we don't like the leagues all over the nation have worked against hydraulic fracturing because of the variety of environmental issues. But here in Oregon, so far we have had, except for the mist area, have not had much of an issue regarding this. So certainly it would be a good idea to study it, and I agree with Representative Parrish. It's always a good idea to know more. But in this session, is it really something that we really need to do? And that's really what we're looking at.
Senator Dembrough, then Representative Parrish.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I was comfortable with the initial bill. I signed on to it. I do recognize that that was as a sort of symbolic Western Union kind of gesture, sending a message. And I'm happy with this bill not going forward. But, you know, I will say that there are a couple of things in the bill that I do find attractive. One is the requirement that anyone doing fracking disclose publicly the chemicals that they're using as part of the process. That has been a problem around the nation, that the chemicals that are used and that the wastewater, you know, has been a real problem. Pennsylvania, where a lot of this is happening, bans the burying of wastewater within Pennsylvania. They have to send it to Ohio. Ohio is willing to take it because they're paid handsomely for it. The issue of wastewater is a real problem in large part because companies have been reluctant to disclose the chemicals that they're using. They consider that proprietary information. And this would require them to disclose that, which I think is a positive step in terms of protecting the public good, public health. But I do agree that the likelihood of this happening in Oregon anytime in the near future is fairly minimal.
Thank you. So if we don't move forward with the moratorium, because that's been moved out of the bill, so are you just saying then kill the bill as it sits, no study? I mean, is that what I'm hearing you say, is if we're not going to do a 10-year moratorium, let's just not go forward with a study either because of the cost associated with that and wait another biennium? I just want to be clear what you're actually asking for today.
So, co-chairs, Representative Parrish, we're suggesting that you all look at the choices that you have this session. And again, we don't know what the fiscal is on this bill, so it's difficult to respond. But if you have limited funds and we think that fracking isn't going to happen in the near future, then perhaps waiting another session is good. Let me respond to Senator Denbrough's comment, too, that and there is a letter that we have on the main bill that has a number of scientific comments. A study of fracking communities in the Appalachian Plateau found that they found methane in 82% of the drinking water samples, and that concentrations of the chemical were 6 times higher in homes close to the natural gas wells. Ethane was 23 times higher in homes close to fracking sites. So we do see that the overall issue of fracking is of great concern. We just agree that with Senator Devlin that perhaps we don't have a concern here in Oregon compared to other concerns that we find more compelling.
And if I can answer Co-Chair Devlin, Representative Parrish, Oregon Environmental Council, the Sierra Club, and Environment Oregon all oppose moving this bill forward this session. We'd like to work with Representative Helm on something else for a future session, whether that's some sort of moratorium, a moratorium and a study, whatever that may be. We just feel like it needs more work and more attention.
That's awful. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Just for the record, we do believe the fiscal is about $100,000 for the bill should it pass the legislature. Also, the committee will have the work session for DGAMI this Wednesday. I think people are already aware in the committee that there's very essential work that DGAMI has to complete. There are more burdens being put upon them, and they're also aware that there have been some significant fiscal issues in DGAMI that we will see addressed in the budget that we have before us on Wednesday. And there have been some significant changes in terms of various leadership positions in DGAMI. And so that there's literally going to be a period of probably about at least a year to get things back working, hopefully normally, in DGAMI. So I think we're a little bit sensitive to adding new burdens onto that agency at this time, beyond the ones we already know are coming. So
thank you, Co-Chair. We're concerned about that as well.
So anything additional? And that will close that public hearing. And
work session.
What? Oh, I thought you did the,
nope.
No, I thought you went the first one. Okay. We'll open a work session on the Department of Agricultural federal grant application on pesticide safety. Don't everyone react. This is not that big of a deal. Helpful.
Mr. Chair, the department's here to request a retroactive authorization to submit a federal grant application for all of $30,000 to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for greenhouse and nursery employee training on pesticide safety. And the department's here to explain the grant request.
Good morning, Lauren Henderson. I'm the Assistant Director with the Department of Ag. Co-Chair Devlin, Co-Chair Rayfield, thank you, Senator Devlin, for that lighthearted comment. This isn't that big of a deal, but it is an important one. We're here to ask for retroactive approval, primarily because the grant deadline is today, and it would not have time to get through the full Ways and Means. Our staff became aware of this right at the last minute last week. And it popped up on our radar screen, and it was important enough that we didn't want to miss the opportunity, or at least put it in front of you for permission to apply for this grant. The worker protection standards have been around for the last 20 years. The EPA is going through a series of rulemaking to update those standards, and the standards require employers to train their workers in pesticide safety. We're partnering with Oregon or OSHA in these grants and using those folks, but this grant is going to be targeted specifically at the nursery greenhouse industry, and we talked to them. They're very willing participants in this, and what the grant would do is help us, working with those partners, produce an updated video that businesses that are in nursery and greenhouse could then use to train their workers and comply with those standards. We anticipate that we will receive notification of award sometime around September, October. And at that point, if we're successful, and we really believe that the state has a very good chance of getting this grant, there's 500,000 total available nationwide, that we would be back to accept those grants in front of you. So with that, I'll stop and be able to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just to clarify, the department has said that they believe they have the necessary federal funds expenditure limitation within their current service level budget. So if the grant is awarded, you would likely not see the department again.
Okay. Seeing no discussion, do we have a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation on the grant request.
The LFO recommendation has been moved on the grant request. Is there any additional discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, motion passes. Who will carry this?
I'll do it.
Okay. Senator Hansel will carry it the full. And with that, we have concluded our work for today, and I won't see you all tomorrow, but have a good time tomorrow. Unless you have a vote problem, then I'll maybe see you tomorrow.
We still have forestry scheduled for tomorrow, Senator.
Yeah, but we don't.
We still have forestry scheduled for tomorrow, Senator.
Yeah.